So this afternoon, we're going to expand the meta practices a little wider and to see if we can begin to access and to be able to cultivate compassion. The word that comes from the Buddhist tradition is called karuna, and it is a part of the heart practices. It's a huge aspect of Buddhist practice in general. And as a concept or idea, to me it simply means the ability. So it's really a skill. It's something that is a possibility. It's a human potential for this ability to care, to have empathy, to hold pain. So for me, it just means an ability to care, an ability to care deeply for that which hurts, and an ability to feel into. So we've had this great instruction this morning on learning how to feel into experience and being able to just have a general awareness around pleasant, unpleasant, neutral experience. And compassion is the act or the ability to hold pain and really to feel into the vulnerability of our experience and to hold it with some care. It's very counterintuitive, I believe. I think it's not something that we are inclined to do. And it's also how you end suffering. It's a huge component to how we don't suffer about pain as we meet it or we hold it with compassion and care. So it has a very important role in the practice and the process of awakening or the process of liberation. Compassion is a key player in the game. And so if we look at the tendency, the probably normal attitude we have around pain is we are afraid of it, we hate it, and we're confused by it. And actually these tendencies of anger and fear and confusion, they actually block, they're really what gets in the way of the ability to have compassion for it. So there's really, to some degree, there's an unwillingness, there's a lack of interest, there's something in our experience that we recoil from that experience. And this also is towards all the forms of pain that I mentioned last night. It's just we push away and we recoil and we try to avoid the physical pain that we're faced with, the discomfort of the body, which is probably the most obvious one. We push away from, we recoil anger, fear towards the emotional pain. And for this takes a wide range of, there's whether it's sadness or disappointment or loss, anger, jealousy, resentment. There's a whole wide range of emotional experiences that we would prefer to be separate from. So we, talking to so many of you today, got a really big sense of that you're starting to, many of you are being able to really identify and having some vocabulary around the flavor of the pain that you dislike the most. So the mindfulness practices are working because the mindfulness practices are shining a light, they're illuminating. They're giving us some good information. They're showing us this is what you are really trying hard to avoid. And so being able to begin to have a feeling towards it, being able to just sense into the body, the unpleasantness of it. All the practices lead to the same place. And then just, of course, the mental pain. Hearing so many of you today report about just the pain of the mind, the analyzer mind, the judgmental mind, the I'm not worthy mind, the part of the mind that is trying to talk you out of feeling into the emotional pain. It's telling you, get out of there, it's no good. We try to analyze it. We try so hard to figure it out. And if I could figure it out, I wouldn't have to feel it. That's a pretty common strategy to try to get away from that. And also hearing many of you report how exhausting that is, how much energy that takes, and how as a general strategy, really not very useful. And so as we sit with the mind day in and day out, we just see this strategy over and over and over and over again. And the more we turn away from it and bring our awareness into sounds and sensations and breathing, the more we start to have some space and we can see that we have some strategies in place that we really can probably identify are not really helpful. We want to overcome them, and so now we're starting to make some space, and the pain or the disappointment or whatever it is that's been avoided is starting to come into the experience now, and we're allowing it to come into the experience. And so this is a really rich opportunity, a really great opportunity to start to cultivate some compassion in a way that is letting it in more, giving it some more permission to come in. And so also compassion is a very specific form of heart practice where metta, this loving kindness, friendliness, is really appropriate for all experience. Forgiveness has the aim of turning towards that which is blaming ourselves for the pain. It's my fault that I have this pain. And getting a little bit of maybe freedom or some space from that. Now we see that compassion has the specific aim of seeing the pain and actually going towards the pain and holding the pain so we don't have to avoid, control, fix, get rid of, adjust. The mind doesn't need to do what it does. The mind can take a break on this one. And the heart can actually do what it's supposed to do and do what it's biologically designed to do, which is to sympathize. That the strongest instinct that you have as a human being is that of sympathy. It might not feel like it at times, but that's what's really born into the nervous system. So we made maybe enough of space now. We're getting closer and closer to it. For me, I notice over the years in my experience of compassion, the thing that tricks my mind, that makes it hard, is that we probably, most of us, would experience or we would believe that compassion is a good quality. It's something that we value and that we would like to have. So we, most of us, I think, would, if we sit and think about it, we would think that compassion is something that we feel is important. But the mind gets in the way because of the fact that the compassion, its only role in the system is to hold and care about pain, that even when compassion is present and we're actually experiencing a compassionate response, the pain is also still present. And so sometimes we can get tripped out because of the fact that compassion might actually feel a little bit unpleasant at first. And then we might think, well, if this is unpleasant and still painful, maybe this isn't compassion. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Which, again, is a misperception. It's a wrong view. It's not seeing the relationship clearly. It's saying, no, there is pain. It's actually acknowledging in a very real way the vulnerability, the reality, the histrionic aspect of the pain that we've been in and that we've probably been struggling with for years. And now we're starting to hold it with compassion, and it still hurts a little bit. And so what's the gain out of this is now in this experience where compassion is present and holding and being with the pain and relating to the pain and letting it in and feeling into it and allowing the vulnerable aspect of the experience to come online, now the suffering is gone. I can't have compassion for pain and suffer about the pain at the same time. You can't do that. And yet, again, as I said last night, herein lies the rub of the Dharma, is that even with the presence of compassion, you also have the presence of the pain. Whether it's a strong pain or a low-grade pain, that's still there, but now it's being held, it's being met, and it's actually being healed. And it loses its ability and it loses its power to create hatred around the pain. I can't hate the pain and have compassion for the pain at the same time. So now the hatred is being destroyed by the compassion. The fear is being destroyed by the compassion. And the confusion, the delusion is also being destroyed by the compassion. And so experientially, as we sit and practice with this, we might notice at times that there's a lot of shifts happening. We might, in a moment or two, feel like the compassion is there, and it falls away, and the hatred comes back. And we see this. We need to see this as a process. And also, this is, of course, the basis and the culmination of empathy. And so maybe I'll say a few words about where it also can become tricky is the reality that there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is the first stage of compassion. So in everyday language, as we start to have a more empathetic relationship to what's challenging, to what's painful, empathy allows us to be with the pain. To be with it, empathizes, it means to be with that. Where sympathy is more of a sort of condescending looking down on it. It can also be experienced as a pity. So one of the things that might be helpful to know is that when we talk about compassion, that compassion has a near enemy and a far enemy. And so what a near enemy is, it's something that looks like compassion or seems to be very similar to compassion, but it's not. And that's the self-pity. Compassion is not self-pity. It's not about feeling sorry for myself. Poor me, I've had such a hard life. My parents weren't there for me. Poor me, it's been so hard. That sometimes can happen, but that's actually not compassion. That's self-pity. That's a very different thing that can sometimes be similar to it. So that's why we use this term, it's a near enemy. And so it's not about looking down on the pain or being condescending. It's not about the pain is weak and I'm weak for having it, which is what the pity, it has a flavor of weakness to it. The compassion is more of a courage and a strength that says, I'm actually totally with this experience. I'm holding it. I'm with it. I care about it. I'm embracing the truth of it. And then, of course, the far enemy, the opposite, is the hatred of the pain. And so sometimes this is a, I know that for me, I was joking with somebody earlier, that if I was on this, if we could rewind 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and I was sitting on this retreat, I would actually not be in this room right now. I would probably be up at the pool or taking a walk. I used to avoid, on meditation retreats, I actually would avoid coming into these particular sessions. And they were always on the schedule, so I knew at 3:30, heart practice meditation, I would not even come into the room for years. Because sometimes our wires, for me, my wires had gotten so crossed that again, as I said last night, the emotional pain was so much and so overwhelming that I so wanted to pretend like it wasn't there. It was so water under the bridge attitude I had. And I'm so tired of talking about this over and over again, the story about me and how hard it's been. And so there was a tremendous amount of pity involved. And so I like to oftentimes talk about this near enemy, because for me, for many years, I really couldn't separate the two. I thought that compassion was a self-pity. And I felt that it was weak and inappropriate and not okay to sit here and feel sorry for myself. I was not interested in that. And so because I avoided coming into the room, I probably didn't get the message, and I just believed whatever my mind told me about it. And I have had a very long history, unsuccessful history, of believing what my mind tells me about things without actually doing any of the work and investigating it experientially, meditatively, just saying, that doesn't sound safe or good. I'm just not even going to bother with any of that. And so compassion can be a fairly loaded word. It carries with it, like forgiveness, it tends to have this kind of heaviness to it, and that sometimes is part of it. But if we look at the roots of the word, sometimes I like to look at the roots of word, the root of the word compassion is compass, compass. And compass, you know, like if you use a compass, it shows you where to go. If you're out in the woods and you have a compass, you can... So it means to locate. So what we're trying to do in compassion is we're trying to locate and we're trying to find part of our experience that's always been there, but we maybe have gotten lost somewhere along the way. We've wandered through the woods that we've been wandering around in our mind for decades and decades that we can't locate the compassion. We don't know where it is. We don't even believe that it's there anymore. And so when we start to try to draw our attention inward and try to feel into the nervous system and this ability for sympathy, it sometimes feels unfamiliar, or it feels like a territory that we maybe don't know anything about. And so, you know, I said this to some of you earlier today, that, you know, some teachers don't teach these practices. Some meditation teachers, some Buddhist teachers believe that if you practice mindfulness well and regularly and appropriately, that these heart practices will arise spontaneously as a result. And I found that to not be true for me. And so... The way that I offer these practices is really the way that I was taught and the way that I found actually worked for me to locate. And so the reason, again, as we move into the meditation, I set up the phrases. The reason we use the phrases is because the mind understands language, right? Which is why you can understand what I'm saying right now, is because you understand English and you understand concepts and ideas and you can track. So the role of the phrases is part of the compass. It's about how do I locate them. If I'm in the middle of the woods and I don't know which way north, south, east, and west is, I'm going to wander around in circles and circles, and I'm not going to be able to get anywhere. So just in the cognitive thinking conceptual mind, we're using that as a beginning, a gauge to locate the reality that we maybe are interested in compassion and we would like to begin the process of finding it. And that's the purpose of the phrases, is to try to just get us to locate and to get somewhere near the territory that we're looking for. And so we cultivate the view, the right view, the understanding that this is going to be important. And so just as you sit here now, just in your own mind, trying to see if you can get your mind on board with this idea. And then as we begin to say the phrases, we are initiating the part of the mind that where the intention is, where the motivation is, where the effort is, the intention, and the karma. We're activating the karma of, I would like to have this compassion. I want to incline towards that. I'm trying to bring it out. And we cultivate the right intention. And then again, we use the phrases. We say the words to cultivate the right speech. So when we think about what is thinking really, mostly thinking is just talking in your head. And so if talking in my head leads to anger, fear, and confusion, then shouldn't talking in my head also have the ability to lead to compassion and forgiveness and kindness? So it's really meant to be an efficient strategy to find our way into this experience. If I can think my way into these difficult emotions, if that's true, then shouldn't it also be true that I can think my way in and incline my way into positive emotions? The system is a fair system. I know that there's a lot of things in life that seem like they're unfair, but I definitely know and believe that emotional experience is fair. And so the more access you have to your heart, the more access you had to compassion and to the sadness and to the stuff that's underneath it, the more access you have to joy and to happiness and to gratitude. So it's pretty win-win. And so because yesterday with the forgiveness, I wanted to use a couple different categories so we can see the relational aspect of it, so we can search the mind for where the blaming might be. And so with the compassion, we are going to focus it 100% for ourselves. And that's a really important way, because really most of us will find that it's easier to have compassion for somebody else's pain than it is for our own. And so we really want to start the practice and build the practice here with self-compassion. So all the instructions here this afternoon will be instructing and inclining and investigating and trying to foster this internal experience of self-compassion for your pain. And for being able to, as you go through life, it's not all about the past, as you continue to go through your life and you accumulate more pain, which you unfortunately probably will, that you'll have this compassion practice that will be more available to you so you can use it. It's very portable. And so the point and the benefit of learning it here in this context is so that as you move forward and out into your life, that you have generated some of this and you have an idea as to how to locate it, and so that you can use it to find your way as life continues to present challenges and hardships and anguish and disappointment and all of the things that, well, probably are going to happen again at some point. So you can just sit up and adjust your body into a meditation posture that feels suitable. Mm-hmm. And so establishing a posture, form for this meditation. So bringing mindfulness into the direct experience of your body. And again, with the instructions from this morning, allowing yourself to sit and to feel. And letting the awareness pour from the mind down into the body. And letting go of the internal commentary, analysis, thinking. Let that be in the background and just let your primary awareness be in the body. And highlighting aspects of the body. So bringing your awareness right into the face and the jaw and relaxing all the muscles there. Noticing the hollowness of your mouth. And then drawing the attention down as you breathe in through the mouth, down through the throat, the hollowness of the throat, and softening or releasing any tension or tightness in the front of the throat area so that is at ease. And then also down through the chest, the heart itself, to just gently feel into the rising of the in-breath, the falling of the out-breath. So you're just feeling the sensation of in and out breathing at the chest. And also letting the breath go all the way down to the belly so the belly is soft. And just letting the breathing move, almost as if there was a balloon inside your belly that you're just gently expanding. Breathe in, softening. Breathe out, releasing. And so feeling into this location, letting the primary focus of attention be from the chin all the way down through the belly and softening out, relaxing, releasing as best you can. And as the in-breath arises, as you invite the in-breath into the body, you can just say the word internally, compassion, and letting that arrive into the body. Compassion. Breathing out. Compassion. Breathing in, compassion. Breathing out, compassion. And for now, just staying with the in and out breath and just staying with that word, locating it. Just practicing. And then really turning towards your direct experience. So you're just coming face to face with your mind and heart. Almost as if you're looking right into a mirror. Compassion. 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 And continuing to turn towards your experience. And just acknowledging, beginning to acknowledge in any way that you can any of the pain that you've been through. Whether it's recent or ancient. No longer willing to pretend that everything has been okay. In any way you can, any access you can have to the reality that life has been a bumpy ride. It hasn't always been easy. And acknowledging any experience of fear that you've had to deal with along the way, worry, any experience of sadness, disappointment, loss. And any experience of anger, rage, hatred that has resulted. And as you acknowledge this and your own experience, the pain that you've been through, the fact that life has been hard, seeing if you can let go of the story and begin to just feel into the body, feel into the heart. Just beginning to enter into the experience with the very simple phrase, I see your pain and I care about you. I see your pain and I care about you. I see your pain. I understand your pain. And I care about you. I care about you. I see your pain. Looking right at it as if you're looking into a mirror. I see your pain. And I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. And bringing mindfulness into the feeling of the body, noticing if you've gotten tight anywhere. See if you can let that go. Relaxing the body. And beginning to send the intention down through the system. May I learn to care about the suffering and confusion in my life. May I learn to care about the suffering and the confusion in my life. May I learn to care. May I learn to care about the suffering and the confusion in my life. May I learn to care deeply. May I learn to begin to care deeply for that which hurts. May I learn to care deeply for that which hurts. May I learn to care deeply for that which hurts. And if you find the mind is blocking and taking you away, distracting, see if you can let that go and just sit, feel, breathe, and just as best you can, locating, relaxing the front of the body, breathing in and out. And just practicing now into this very simple phrase, I care about you, I care about me, I care about myself. I care about you, I care about me, I care about myself. I care about you. I care about me. I care about myself. And using that to block out any other thoughts of analyzing or judging, and just letting that phrase repeat so all other thoughts can't penetrate. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. And however it makes sense to you, you can't do this wrong. Just practicing staying with it. Any way you can send compassion to yourself, locating compassion for yourself, and allowing yourself to hold any pain that you've been avoiding. And cultivating this intention that simply says, I care about you. I care about you. And whatever might be getting in the way, seeing if you can care about that. So it doesn't matter where you start or where you end up, but that you simply continue. So just another few more minutes. You're doing great. See if you can stay with it. Don't check out. And if there's discomfort in the body, you can bring some care and compassion to that. If there's a sense of not even wanting, you can send compassion to that. See if you can just stay with it, locate. And sympathize with this compassion, caring. Okay, thank you for your practice. We'll take the phrases or take the compassion practice that you were doing and take it into the walking for the next period. And we'll have a walking period now and then another sit before dinner. So enjoy some compassionate walking and continuing with this practice for some time.